The Best in Class podcast has its look to prime you for the regular season, dancing around the league, looking at key rookies, key second-year players, and, of course, a little bit on the Bucks too. It's Sean Sullivan's podcast. He's the Joe Bucks fan draft guru, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa, the best Ford store, the largest Ford store in the United States, my opinion. 67 cars deep, service drive, that's no joke, and the best possible service and experience that you're going to get at any family-owned Ford dealer. Bill Curry Ford, celebrating our 65th birthday this year, serving the Tampa Bay community. I can't wait to break down the preseason. We're going to talk about rookies. I got a couple of bones to pick that I'm going to go over. I've been kind of saving it, kind of to see how it played out, so I can go over it with you guys. Questions about your draft, questions about rookies or dynasty leagues, please email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. And now a word from our sponsor. Again, I mentioned earlier Bill Curry Ford. We are going into September, the best month of the year, because it's the start of football. The opening kickoff, the opening tip, doesn't matter. I can't wait. College football started. We get to see some really new NFL talent coming to alive in college. But first things first, please visit BillCurryFord.com. You can see all of our amazing specials. There's a coupon that's going to drop down that you can use for the Labor Day sale. We had a tremendous August. We are 1 month closer to our Ford Pro Elite opening up. You can make an appointment for your mobile service and pick up and delivery still free of charge for all of our guests. Everything is just amazing right now. And I thank the Tampa Bay community for making this new construction just go off without a hitch. And I'm very blessed and very, very humbled by the response that the store has had. So thank you very much, Tampa. Again, you have the Ira Kaufman discount. Anytime you come in, you just say, I'm with the Ira Kaufman following, you know, like Children of the Corn, who all eat beet salads. You guys can come in and I will sit down, talk football with you. I'll give you the best deals. And then we can go from there. But, you know, we can talk more about the car business later. Like, listen, I want to get into these things that have really bothered me for the last 3 weeks. And I'm going to go through the Bucks. Let's just do this. I'm going to go with my little agenda here. We'll go through the agenda and then I'm going to go off in a tangent. It's going to happen. So be prepared. All right. So let's do the Bucks. Let's break down first pick, Amika Ibuka, right? A wide receiver out of Ohio State. Listen, the way that Bucks have talked about him, he's like the best receiver that we've ever drafted besides Mike Evans. They've already kind of crowned him the future of the Bucks offense. According to Lita Kemper, who did not miss one practice that he was allowed to watch, he dominated practice. And then when we did the joint practices, they all raved about him. And in preseason, he's had limited looks in preseason, but he's shown hands and the ability to get open. I'm excited. I think that they've really shut him down and they're like treating him like a veteran already, basically not wanting him to get hurt, which is fine with me. I'm all for keeping him on bubble wrap until the beginning of the season if he's going to be like that immediate star wide receiver alongside Mike Evans. Of course, with Chris Godwin news coming out, I mean, he might be gone for 8 games. You know, they keep saying he was going to be back for training camp, then they said he was going to be back for the preseason, then they said, oh, don't worry, he's going to be ready for the first game. And then they said, okay, he's going to miss the first 4 games. Listen, I don't think they know anything of what's going on with Chris Godwin. So obviously we hope he's healthy. He's obviously a fan favorite, a terrific wide receiver, a good person. So I'm hoping that he comes back. In the meantime, you know, we have another receiver, Jalen McMillan, got hurt. He's going to be out 8 games. So, and I'm not going to start the Trask deal. You know what? I probably am, but right now, right this second. So basically, McMillan got hurt on a high throw from Teddy Bridgewater, who was with the Bucks for 12 days when we decided to put him in a game. But he's hurt. So it really makes Amika's role even bigger. Benjamin Morrison, our second-round draft pick, has had, you know, been injured all preseason with a hamstring injury. He didn't look all that terrific in the practices that we were watching. It's like he's getting back into it. I think he's extremely talented. I hope that his health is going to be something that's not going to follow him like it did in college. I hope that he, again, can stay healthy. He's a smaller guy. I'm just hoping that translates because he's super talented. I'm not going to say that he's not because he is. He's a very talented young man, and I hope that he gets on the field. And he's a better person from what I understand. He's a terrific teammate and a really good guy. Jacob Parrish, our third-round pick out of Kansas State has absolutely lit it up and competed for an outside starting corner position. Everybody kind of handed him the nickel and said that that's where he's going to play, but he's actually played well enough to push the starters. If you listen to Best in Class breakdown of when he was drafted, I did say that he was an outside corner and that he was going to compete for that. So I'm glad that everyone else has seen that, where he's not just limited because of his height, that he's going to play in like that nickel, where he's definitely an outside corner in this league, and he can do both. He's very versatile. David Walker, as you know, went down with an injury. That's a shame. You know, he was supposed to be the savior of our edge rush, and that's a whole nother conversation that we're going to get into about the lack of depth at the edge position. Elijah Roberts, our round pick 5 out of SMU. Surprisingly enough, if you guys believe in some of the, not the PFF grades, but let's just talk about the fact of like pass rushing wins, pass rushing snaps. Elijah Roberts actually pass rushed better than any other player in preseason. So don't know what that means. It's preseason, but Elijah Roberts showed not only can he get to the quarterback, but that he's playing very physical football, and that's what they brought him in for. So he's a guy that's kind of off of everyone's radar, but if you look at the stats, when he's in the game, he's getting to the quarterback, and he's getting rushes on the quarterback. So congratulations to him. Tez Johnson, one of my favorite players. I talked about Tez Johnson before the draft. I'm so happy the Bucks drafted him. I absolutely love this kid. He really showed what he can do, and now he's going to have a bigger role with Godwin and McMillan out. He's going to have a bigger role in this offense and as a kick returner and punt returner. So congratulations to Dej Johnson. But that's pretty much where we are going into this week one Atlanta Falcons game. And I'm very excited about the season. I just think there's so many amazing things going on with this season. And I'm going to get into one right now. I've been sitting on this, and it's driving me crazy. So last year, I talked about it being most likely going to be the greatest quarterback draft in NFL history, better than 83. As you guys know, how many quarterbacks were drafted in 83? There were 5 drafted that were actually remember, right? And, of course, then you had the Marino and the Elway. Again, 2 Super Bowls in that whole class. And then you had Jim Kelly, who went to 4 Super Bowls but didn't win. And then you had like the Tony Eason and the Blackledge, and you had those guys, okay? Last year, we had 6 quarterbacks drafted in the first 12 picks of the draft. That's an NFL record. Then later on, you had another quarterback that's going to start this year. You're going to have 7 quarterbacks that were drafted last year starting in the NFL this year. An amazing statistic. And I think all of them have a chance. You know, obviously not New Orleans, because I hope they lose their team. They're a terrible organization, terrible people, terrible town, everything. Just wrap it up and pack it up and but anyway, the rest of the first round quarterbacks are fantastic. Bo Nix, I think, had an incredible year. Jaden Daniels obviously had a great year. Injuries obviously played a role in some quarterbacks. And then, you know, Penix Jr. got in at the end of the year and really lit it up. His last 2 games threw for over 300 yards, 6 touchdowns, really, really showcased his gunslinger mentality, which was really great. Drake May is a big star in New England, according to everyone. I mean, he passed for 1,000 yards last year. Let's not get too excited. But he has really lit up New England's fan base, and they're very excited to have him. So really good for Drake May. But let's get to the top one. Let's get back to Caleb Williams, okay? This is why I'm frustrated, because I talk to people and they're like, man, is Caleb Williams a bust? And then they're like, oh, man, he just didn't have the year that the other quarterbacks had, or that Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix had. And I'm like, what are you guys talking about? He broke every Chicago Bear record for a rookie quarterback, okay? Every single one, other than the win total. Right? Statistically, he played extremely well. He had three NFL coordinators. 3. I want you to think about how hard that is for a rookie to pick up an offense and then have 3 different people teaching him, because the Bears coaches keep getting fired. Their offensive coordinators got fired twice. The head coach got fired. He's got Ben Johnson this year. Now, the reason why I get so upset about this is Caleb Williams did not have a bad year at all. And The fact that people go, well, Jaden Daniels had this amazing year. No, his team won games. The team had better coaching, better players, better schedule. Washington's just overall was a completely veteran staff that knew what they were doing with Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels didn't call plays from the line of scrimmage. He had a scripted playbook. They brought in a bunch of plays from LSU that he ran to perfection, and they made it easy for him to come into the NFL. He made no line calls on the offensive line versus Caleb Williams. Made all the line calls on the offensive line. Had to change plays and variations of a complex Chicago Bears offense from day one. Chris Sims even came out and said, this might be one of the most complicated offenses I've ever seen to not be productive, right? Because that's what you got in Chicago, right? And I'm not even going to get into Justin Fields' conversation. Let's just focus on Caleb Williams. I'm going to go through the stats right now. And if anybody knows anything about football, I just want you to listen right now to me about these stats. This terrible year that Caleb Williams had, and that he's probably a bust, and he's going into this year fighting for his job. All BS, okay? Completions. Jaden Daniels had 331 completions on the season last year. Caleb Williams had 351 completions. I don't know math, but that sounds like it's better. Attempts, 480, less attempts for Jaden, 562 for Caleb. More, meaning that the 69% that Jaden Daniels threw for was fantastic. Caleb Williams at 63% has a lot of room to improve. You know, going into this season, Ben Johnson wants him at 70%, which is where I think he should be. But per completion percentage, is off. So that's a Jaden Daniels check. Yards, 3,568 yards for Jaden Daniels. Wow, Caleb Williams had such a bad year with 3,541 yards. For those of you who are keeping count, that's a 17-yard difference in yards. 17, okay? Yards per attempt, 7.4 versus 6.4. Not a big deal. How about passing touchdowns? Jaden Daniels was not only leading for Offensive Rookie of the Year, they were talking about him as an MVP with 25 touchdown passes. Caleb Williams had 20 touchdown passes. He was right there. Interceptions, Jaden Daniels had 9. Caleb Williams had 6. Caleb Williams threw 102 more passes than he did and threw 3 less interceptions. He had a 20-6 touchdown to interception ratio. That is amazing. Jaden Daniels, 25-9. Very good job. This is not taking anything away from Jaden Daniels. This is just, I'm tired of all the nonsense with Caleb Williams. Okay, let's go with sacks. Caleb Williams was sacked 68 times behind that terrible Chicago Bear offensive line. Just so you know, it's an NFL record for how poor that offensive line was, how complicated the offense was not to get the ball out. Caleb's holding on to the ball too long. That's why he had 68 sacks. Listen to me. The offense was terrible. If you watch the preseason this year, watch how fast Caleb gets the ball out. Under 2.2 seconds in the preseason. He's making quick decisions getting the ball out. He has the strongest arm in the NFL. That didn't come from me. That came from players in the NFL. He has a stronger arm than Josh Allen. He has a stronger arm than Patrick Mahomes. That came from the NFL players themselves, not from me, okay? This guy is super talented. He's an oddball person. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that he's probably a good human being. Player-wise, he's fantastic, okay? Rushing attempts. Oh, well, this is where they separated themselves, right? Because Jaden Daniels had 891 yards on the ground. Caleb Williams had 489 yards on the ground. That's a difference of 300 yards because one had a running offense and design runs. Caleb Williams was running because his offensive line was bad. How many yards do you think Jaden Daniels rushed for per? 6. 6.0. How many yards do you think Caleb Williams rushed every time he rushed? 6.0. They were exactly the same as far as rushing. 6 yards a carry. Jaden Daniels had more carries. He has an offense that actually brought in his LSU running plays. Smart. Caleb Williams didn't have designed running plays and still rushed for 500 yards, still rushed for 6 yards a carry. Touchdowns, right? Jaden Daniels had 6 rushing touchdowns. He had 3 in back-to-back games. That was pretty impressive. And Caleb did not have a rushing touchdown. Neither did, I don't think, a running back on the Chicago Bears last year. So, again, if this doesn't help you guys understand how close this was, we're talking about millimeters between these two quarterbacks. Bo Nix had an amazing season. Penix had a very strong finish. May only passed for under 1,500 yards. I mean, he was really getting into not high yards, but he was completing balls, moving their offense. He was doing some running. So I feel like he's going to have better stats this year. But these two guys are going to be the guys that have such important years this year. I think Jaden Daniels takes a step back this year, not because he's not talented, just because defenses are now going to have more film on him. Caleb Williams has an advantage because he's changing offenses. No one has any tape on what Ben Johnson's going to do with Caleb Williams. And also, by the way, they got him a tight end in Loveland, who I think is going to make a huge difference. So I love both of these quarterbacks. Love both of them. I'm just so tired of one getting more publicity than the other about how much better they were last year, and it does not compute if you look at it on paper. Oh, by the way, I watched every snap of the Chicago Bears and every snap of the Washington Commanders, formerly known as Redskins. I watched every snap, right? And I watched one offense that was so smooth and crisp, and all the stuff was called by the sideline. And then I watched Caleb, where they put everything on Caleb to do, including have to run that offense. So it was like, you're the number one overall pick. You can make the line calls. You can make the calls at the line of scrimmage. You can change the plays. You can do all this with a terrible offensive line. And by the way, zero run game. We'll see how it goes this year. I think I said what I wanted to say. I hope you guys didn't tune me out. But my goodness, man, I'm so tired of that. And I won't curse. Because, you know, obviously this is a family podcast. I want to keep it clean. But it's total BS. It's just total BS. And I'm done with it. Okay. Let's go on to Shedeur Sanders. This conspiracy of Shedeur Sanders, I don't care if you like him or not. I got to talk to him. He's a nice kid. Travis Hunter was more personable. I liked both of them. I saw them at the combine. Shedeur Sanders had an entourage for sure. I think that he has a lot of plans outside football. I think that had a lot to do with how he got drafted. But you can't take away the guy's talent. I'm watching every snap, right? I'm watching every snap. The guy played extremely well. The coach wants Dylan Gabriel to succeed, period. If you don't believe that, all you have to do is watch his press conferences. Just watch him from day one. He wanted Dylan Gabriel. He drafted in the third round. He didn't want Shedeur Sanders. He's done everything he can to absolutely destroy this kid. And if you don't believe me, go back and watch the third preseason game. When Dylan Gabriel played with the starting offensive line, he played with the second string wide receivers and tight ends, and they played in a wide system. They did wide receiver wide. They spread that field out. They let Dylan make these precise throws to open wide receivers. Then the second half comes along. They put Shedeur Sanders in. What do? They put in the fourth and fifth string. This is the Kyle Trask thing. This is what they do. They put in the worst players they can put in the game to make him look bad. They put him in there with a terrible offensive line, by the way, that sacked them five times. The kid could have got hurt. That's how bad the offensive line was. And guess what happened to the spread offense? They went away from the spread offense. And what did they do? They ran long, drawn-out patterns with a bad offensive line. Why do you think they did that? They did it to make him look bad. Not because they wanted to cut him, because they wanted the press to die down. They wanted 100% to make the shiny penny go away so they could get back to football. I'm telling you, that's what they did. And at the very end of the game, there's 2 minutes left in the game. Shedeur Sanders is in the game, warm, and this is his time. He takes that team back, and they win that game in the 2 minutes. The fans would go nuts, and then the coach would have another problem on his hands. So what did he do? He pulls them for a guy that he cut 3 days later. He's like, we wanted to see Hundley run the offense. We wanted to see how he ran the 2-minute offense. Really? You cut him 3 days later. So you couldn't have. He took the team down there and scored. So what am I missing? You wanted to see him in 2 minutes for what? He was a camp arm that you brought in. And you cut him 3 days later. The story is, sir, that you didn't want Shedeur Sanders to run your 2-minute offense and score a touchdown or a field goal to win the game because you wouldn't be able to deal with the fallout from the fans. It's not Shedeur Sanders' fault that he's popular. It's not his fault that fans want to see him play. I'm tired of players getting blamed for having fans. Fans are what make this whole thing work, coach. This is what the whole thing works for. This is what the WNBA hasn't figured out with Caitlin Clark. It doesn't matter if Caitlin Clark is Michael Jordan or not. Everybody wants to watch her play. Hence, fill the seats. Hence, money. Money pays for the players. Money pays the owners. Money pays for TV contracts. Guys, this is not rocket science, right? If the fans want to see a player, that's what they want to see, and that's what they're paying to see, then let them see him. Don't screw with this kid's head. Don't screw with the fans. Again, Cleveland Browns, man, what a disorganized function. If they don't start out 0-5, if there's Cleveland Browns fans that listen to this podcast, listen to me. Your first five games are a gauntlet. Like Navy SEAL gauntlet. You have no shot of winning those five games unless something of a miracle with Joe Flacco happens and he becomes Joe Montana when Joe Montana played with the Kansas City Chiefs and you thought he was done and all he did was win and all he did was take him to the playoffs, almost single-handedly took him to the Super Bowl. Anyway, I don't know what's going to happen. The Cleveland Browns are I don't know what they're doing. They make terrible decisions. They literally talked about how Shedeur Sanders might be a negative impact in the locker room. You traded your entire franchise for a guy that was literally sued for 100 rapes or sexual contact. What are you doing? What are you talking about? You traded your franchise away for an alleged rapist. And not by one, not by two. You're talking about 10 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 women come forward and say, this guy's inappropriate. This guy does bad touching. This is a bad guy. This is a bad guy, allegedly, right? I'm not in the courtroom. I don't know these people, but I can tell you it's probably not good. He probably did do something. I have no idea what he did. Maybe he just didn't tip well. I don't know. But he obviously made a lot of people mad. There's a lot of people that don't think Deshaun Watson's a very good guy. And then you're literally saying Shedeur Sanders, who has done nothing but have fans, nothing but have outside interests other than football because he's a marketing genius. And you're sitting there saying, yeah, he's a bad locker room guy. Really? You guys need to check yourself, man, because that's some absolute crap. And I hope you lose every damn game. Until you change coaching staff or change leadership or just blow the damn thing up. What an embarrassment to football. Anyway, I'm ready now to move on. All right, I'm going to move on. My blood pressure's high enough. I'm moving on. All right, let's talk about Travis Hunter. I brought him up a second ago. He is playing offense and defense. He is starting offensive player for Liam Cohen's offense, which has looked very good in the preseason, especially the run game. It looks like Liam Cohen has a real knack for drawing up run fits. He looks like he's really, really good at finding ways to get players open. So I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to rush the ball very well. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a lot more passes that are easy to complete where he's not trying to win the game on every throw. I think they're going to ease him into a game. If you watched anything last year, it was tough to watch Trevor Lawrence just because every throw is down the field. Every throw is a sideline route. I mean, just give the poor kid some easy throws. Get him into the game. Travis Hunter, though, starts on defense as well. Very excited for this player. I think they really did a good job of hiding him. If you're not understanding how talented Travis Hunter is, I think he was one of the most talented players in the draft. Offensively, he is amazing. He is absolutely a terrific wide receiver. I think you're going to see that, and I think Liam Cohen knows that, and he hid it from everyone. I'm so looking forward to seeing him play. Let's talk about some quarterbacks that were drafted this year. Cam Ward, drafted number one overall, has looked the part to me. I thought he's played extremely well. I thought he was accurate with the ball. I love his arm strength. I love his gunslinger mentality. He's got a little Favre in him. You can see it where he just tries to force that ball in. He seems to be an interesting leader where he's challenging defensive players like Simmons to fights and things like that. He seems to be very passionate about winning. So maybe he's going to change the whole culture there and not only be a physical team, but actually a winning team. I don't know. There's something I like. There's something special about him. I wish him well. Getting to the Giants with Jaxson Dart. Jaxson Dart has looked terrific so far in the preseason. We'll see. Everyone's anointing him. And I watched a lot of him in college, and he was very inconsistent. I don't think he's played enough and enough snaps for anyone to anoint him the giant starter over Russell Wilson, who I'm not a fan of, but still he's a better starter. I'm interested to see how that plays out. If the Giants, you know, are a 500 team going into their bye, do they start Dart after the bye? Who knows how that works? The Giants have probably going to have the top defense in the league. And they're going to be able to run the ball effectively. And I think they really fixed their offensive line. I really think the Giants have a chance to be a competitive team this year just by having someone not turn the ball over at the quarterback position too. That also is helpful. But I think they should wait a little bit on Jackson Dart hype. Although I did like what I saw, I still think it's a little early because he loves to throw the ball into coverage and he gets away with it until he doesn't. And in the NFL, you're not going to be able to make too many mistakes. Moving on to Josh Simmons, offensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been unbelievable this preseason. He's going to start for the Kansas City Chiefs. What a great pick out of Ohio State. He's fit right in. Terrific job. Next guy I want to talk about, Trayvon Henderson, Ohio State running back, New England Patriots drafted him second round. You know, if you think about this, it's really interesting when you watch them on the kickoff. His speed is unlike you haven't really seen speed like this since Marshall Faulk, in my opinion, where he has a second gear. It's not just speed. It's speed to where it's acceleration and then another gear. So it's for a guy his size, I just think it's impressive. I think New England's got something with this Henderson guy. I really, really think, and if you listen to my running back breakdown, I had him rated higher than Judkins, who's unsigned by the stupid Browns. I have him underneath Henderson. I actually had him higher. I think Henderson, just speed, size, elusiveness, the Pats got something, man. You're going to have Drake May, and you're going to have Henderson running behind him. What a great job they did. The Pats had a really good offseason. Jahad Campbell, a guy that was linked to the Bucks over and over again. Now, I didn't pick him to be drafted by the Bucks. I actually picked him to be drafted by the Eagles when I had my 11 correct picks in the first round. He has played extremely well for Philadelphia. The shoulder injury has not affected him. At this point, he's really lit it up in preseason. He's going to be a really big acquisition for the Eagles. Again, who didn't need another defensive good player, but it looks like Jahad Campbell so far, so good. Ashton Jeanty, the first round pick of the Los Angeles Raiders, where Pete Carroll got his running back. So you know he's going to be a bell cow. You know he's going to be able to – he's going to put this guy out there over and over again. He's going to get a ton of carries. I watched him in preseason. He's not going to be able to run over people like that one play where he ran over the 49er and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, look, this is why he's the number one pick. I'm looking at it going, okay, well, yeah, he got the best of an outside corner, running, and he ran over him for sure, took a bad position. He's going to have to get in the open field to do that. I mean, he's not going to be able to do what he did at Boise State. Listen, I'm not down on him. For those of you guys who have drafted him in fantasy or you're a big fan of his or you're a Raiders fan, I'm not saying that he's not going to be a good running back. I'm just saying so far he's been unimpressive. And I hope that changes. Trust me, I was very high on him in my rankings. I was very high on him when I watched film. So I want to be proven right. I think he's a good running back. I just have not seen what I wanted to see so far in the preseason. Tyler Booker, the offensive guard at Alabama, is going to start for the Cowboys. What a devastating blocker. Oh, my gosh. This guy, I think, is really going to help the Cowboys this year run the football with Javonte Williams, Jaden Blue. I think you're going to see that. Trey Harris, a wide receiver out of Mississippi, was drafted by Harbaugh. I mean, he looks really, really good. I mean, there was a time where he was ranked in that first round and he fell. 6 catches, 85 yards. He was playing the slot. He was grabbing balls high, low. He had a great sideline catch where he kept his feet in. He could be somebody to keep an eye on. I just think right now the wide receivers for the Chargers are so muddled with everything going on, and you can't really tell how much Harbaugh's going to throw the ball and how he's going to use, because he has Quentin Johnson there. You just really don't know. They just re-signed Keenan Allen. You don't really know what they're going to do with these wide receivers. So I hope that Trey Harris gets some playing time. Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon for the Steelers, has looked the part. He looks like everything we talked about. He was a run-stopping, pass-rushing defensive tackle, interior defensive lineman. He fits right into what the Steelers are going to do. Man, he's going to be great with T.J. Watt. It's a great pairing. Jahde Barron, a guy we talked about, I absolutely loved him. It was a defensive back out of Texas. I just thought he was everything. He's the bee's knees as a corner. And guess what? He has been for the Broncos, the bee's knees. The guy's been absolutely amazing. He's going to be a starter for the Broncos, who are a playoff team. Congratulations, Jahde Barron, for showing up. Colston Loveland, tight end out of Michigan for the Chicago Bears, has looked exactly like what Ben Johnson wants in that Sam Laporta type of tight end for his offense. This is going to be fantastic for Caleb Williams and the Bears. He has a dependable target. Loveland's going to get open a lot. He looks like a wide receiver in running down the field. I really think I'm really happy with this selection for the Bears. I think Loveland's going to be a great player for a long time. Josh Connelly Jr., another tackle out of Oregon, who went to the Washington team, formerly known as the Redskins. He's going to start for them. Huge guy. Has played excellent in the preseason. Huge upgrade for Washington. Great job to them for this pick. There's a lot of guys that were all over the board on Connelly, and he's proven that so far that he's an NFL player. One of my favorite safeties, we talked about him, Andrew Mukuba, drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. He was second-round draft pick from Texas. I thought maybe the Bucs might pick him up because we needed a safety. He's a very physical guy. Again, with the stupid Eagles, they picked another great pick. This is the real deal, guys. This guy can play. He was the best safety in football, I think, in the preseason. Physical, picked up their defense right away. I think he's going to play a lot of minutes. The Eagles just continue to draft at another level. Another guy, Ozzie Trapillo, for the Chicago Bears, offensive tackle out of Boston College. I love getting my offensive line players from Iowa, Boston, Minnesota. These are the kind of guys I want on my offensive line. This guy's going to start for the Bears. He's been excellent in the preseason. Mike Green, the star of the Senior Bowl, the pass rusher out of Marshall, had some off-the-field problems. He was probably taken off the Bucs board, was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens, has been unblockable in the preseason. Really shown up. The guy can really play the game of football. Again, we don't know what kind of person he is. You know, again, when I say he had trouble of the bad kind, allegedly, where, you know, so I hope that he is going to have a terrific NFL career. I hope the best for him. He's a really, really amazing pass rusher. The Ravens got, I think, a steal with him. Mason Graham, defensive tackle out of Michigan. We all knew he was the best. He went to the Browns. He's been exactly what he was talking about in the preseason, that he was going to be an instant starter in the NFL. He has been that. He's terrific. Mason Graham is a guy you're going to hear from a long time. In that Cleveland Browns defense, which is a very physical 3-4, I think Mason's just going to dominate. Texans and Lions are both some teams that drafted some players that I really like. Jaden Higgins, Iowa State wide receiver. He went to the Texans. He's going to be worked into the starting rotation with Kirk and Nico Collins. I think you're going to see C.J. Stroud with that fixed offensive line have a really great year. Matthew Golden, a receiver I was super high on, was drafted by the Packers. I talked to Chris Sims at the Combine about him, that I was really high on him. What all he's done in the preseason, he's only had 28 snaps in the preseason, but he's dominated when he's played. He's gotten down the field. Jordan Love loves him. This is a big play guy for the Packers, who obviously just made the Micah Parsons trade, which is amazing. But this is a big, big deal. Matthew Golden is going to be a star for the Green Bay Packers. Tyler Warren out of Penn State, unbelievably talented tight end, drafted by the Colts. I think now that you have Daniel Jones starting there, he's going to throw to Tyler Warren a lot. I loved his preseason. He just looks so natural at that position. I think he's the next, you know, big star at that position. Will Campbell, drafted by the Patriots to play left tackle, has looked the part. Everybody was concerned that he wasn't going to be a left tackle. He sure has looked like it in the preseason. He hasn't given up a pressure. The guy's been fantastic. The Patriots got a real winner there. Getting back to the Giants with Abdul Carter out of Penn State, the edge rusher, every time he gets in the game, it looks like he pressures the quarterback. Between him, Burns, Thibodeau, and Lawrence, man, and Abdul Carter, that Giants defense is going to be for real. Congratulations to them. Abdul Carter has been everything advertised. The guy's already their best pass rusher. Everybody's saying that he's even better than Burns. Now, not in production. I'm talking about just in practice. This is what he's shown, is that he's beaten the tackles faster than the other guys. T-Mac, which is Tatera McMillan, was a wide receiver that was drafted. Again, the Carolina Panthers went back in the draft after Leggett last year. They got McMillan this year. T-Mac looks like the real deal. I don't like his separation, but it looks like he's going to be schemed open. He's going to be like the center of their offense. He's going to be their red zone target. He's big, tall, makes a lot of contested catches, but I'm telling you, he doesn't get open with consistency for me, but he doesn't really need to because he's so big and strong. He just pushes the defensive back, catches the ball anyway. I don't think he needs to be any faster. So there's a guy to watch, though, for fantasy. We talked about Loveland already for the Bears. Kenneth Grant for the Miami Dolphins, a guy out of Michigan. man, what a defensive tackle. Grant has looked has been the part for the Dolphins. Unbelievable. Done a terrific job. And then Omarion Hampton, running back for the Chargers, with everything going on with the Chargers with J.K. Robbins. We'll see how that goes. And Omarion Hampton, I think, I'm sorry, J.K. plays for Denver. I apologize. Omarion Hampton doesn't really have much competition right now. He has Najee Harris coming off of an eye injury. We'll see how that goes, but Hampton might be able to get it going. So that concludes what everything I wanted to talk about. I hope I didn't go too long because I wanted to be the best 30 minutes in football. I wanted to be the best drive home for you guys. Please send me emails at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. Leave me reviews at Apple Podbeam. Also, visit us at billcurryford.com. See all of our amazing specials. Come in, buy a car. We'll deliver a car to you on our new we have a now home delivery tow truck, which is amazing. We have mobile service and pickup and delivery. We got a lot of stuff going on. It's pretty crazy. And we have a new Ford Pro Elite opening. Again, follow us at all the social media things like Bill Curry Ford Tampa, et cetera, et cetera. You guys know what social media is. You guys know where to follow us. I'll see you guys next time after our first week of the season. We're going to talk about the rookies. We're going to talk about first-year players. Can't wait, guys.